You're the one who protects the flock, and that requires an eye for detail. Because when safety and well-being are on the line, it's the details that can save lives. Even when no one else is watching, you see everything. Grainger gets you, and we're here for you, and all the ones who get it done with a wide range of safety products and solutions, plus board-certified safety consultants here to answer your questions. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you 24/7, with supplies and solutions for every industry, and access to product specialists ready to help. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Here's Amy Lawrence.
Put me in, coach. I'm ready to play today. Look at me. Yeah,
we are trying to mix in baseball and football as best we can to keep you on your toes. It actually dawned on me as I was driving into work. So our headquarters are located in Lower Manhattan, New York City. And I couldn't figure out why there was so much traffic. Usually on Sunday nights, it's relatively light because people have to work or go to school the next day. Yeah, not so much. Didn't recognize or remember that it was Columbus Day Monday. It's Columbus Day weekend. It's a lot of people are out of their regular routine. So if you're just discovering our show for the first time, I do always say that I enjoy working holidays because it gives us an opportunity to introduce the show to those people who might not otherwise be listening. And sometimes we have affiliates that don't generally join in, but they will on holidays. So here we go. We are going to dive into some baseball and the matchups coming up. And then we'll get back to football. But we got to go back and forth because it's October and that's what happens. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Oh my gosh, I just spent, 7 minutes talking about the Cowboys? And this is what I get on Twitter. Cowboys get no love, Amy. Yeah. This is why I try not to pay attention to social media. Maybe it's better if my screen just stayed black. My gosh. Those are my most amusing tweets, though, is right after I talk about something, I generally will get people accusing me of not talking about what I just covered. So, yeah, on that note, we're down to the four divisional series, which all begin on Tuesday. How did you like that wild card weekend, that new format that baseball kind of threw together? I think for a couple of reasons. Number one, they had to condense the wild card round considering that the regular season started a week late and everything got pushed back. So we're going to start Tuesday, October 11th with all four division series until they break off to National League and American League and kind of go every other day. But for now, unless they want to play the World Series in the snow somewhere, they're going to have to scoot. So how do you like the wild card series? We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need cash out of your home and a simple way to get it, Rocket can. Why don't we pose that question to our Odyssey baseball insider? He's also a longtime columnist for the USA Today sports section. And Bob Nightingale, pleased to connect with you for the first time this season. So long time no talk. What's your impression of wild card weekend, the way baseball set it up for the first time this year?
Yeah, well, it's interesting that everybody's fighting for home field advantage and it meant absolutely nothing. I'm the only team that had, that won with home field advantage, the Cleveland Guardians, and they didn't even sell out their either game. So, what does that really mean?
Wow.
I think it means that home field advantage is, doesn't really mean anything in baseball. Remember even going back to 2019 with the Nationals and Astros, nobody won a home game. The Nationals won 4 road games and the Astros won 3 road games.
Why is that, do you think? Why has it become so non-effective or non-important in the baseball playoffs?
I don't know. I was talking to Rob Thompson of the Phillies the other day about this, and they've been on the road for about two and a half weeks. And, he was saying, I asked, is it sometimes even better to be on the road? And he agreed. Just you don't have the distractions of family and friends and tickets, it brings some camaraderie together because, you know, everybody's on the road together. So you're going to see each other for breakfast and, you know, grab some dinner, that sort of thing. So, yeah, I don't think it's, you know, nearly the disadvantage, you know, like it is in the other sports.
Mm. We're already down to the division series because Wild Card Weekend was set up with 3 days in a row, although we only needed the third day for the Padres and the Mets. So let's start with that one. The Mets win 101 games in the regular season, actually have the same record as the Atlanta Braves, who ended up edging them out for the NL East title, and they're done. How did San Diego do it?
You know, I always thought there was two sleepers going to the playoffs, and it was San Diego and Seattle. Just because of the pitching. I mean, Yu Darvish, who won game one, is pitching as good as anybody, if not better than anybody in baseball. Joe Musgrove, as we saw tonight, is a stud, you know, through the first no-hitter in Padre history. Blake Snell, up until yesterday, had pitched very well down the stretch. You know, you got Josh Hader in the bullpen. So a dangerous team, a dangerous pitching staff, just like Seattle, you know, when they can throw, you know, Luis Castillo at you, and Robbie Ray and Logan Gilbert, you know, tough teams to beat, and both teams advanced. You know, obviously Ray didn't have a great outing by any means, but the Padres, you know, they line up that rotation perfectly.
Considering all the moves they made at the trade deadline and the fact that it took a while for them to settle into the new lineup, once they clicked, they really took off.
You know, they did, and, you know, Machado really led the way. But it's funny. I mean, a guy like Trent Grisham, you know, this series, he would have been the MVP of a series if they had it for division series. You know, when he hit, you know, close to 500, two home runs, 3 or 4 ribbies, just on fire. And, yeah, fun team to watch. You know, Juan Soto has, you know, really disappeared when he got to San Diego. And he started to show, you know, a little bit more, you know, what he was in Washington during this postseason series. Where, you know, the past couple months in San Diego, same with Josh Bell, you know, just, you know, weren't the same guys.
Bob Nightingale is with us from the road. He'll be on the road for about 5 weeks around the end of the regular season and on through this blitz of October. We're always excited to talk to him about baseball. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. You were in St. Louis for the Cardinals series, and man, talk about a stunner. The way that they gave up those 6 runs in the 9th inning on Friday night and then really couldn't hit on Saturday. What was it like at Busch Stadium?
Yeah, I mean, the first game, when they coughed up the 6 runs, it got so quiet there, you could actually hear the Phillies bench cheering and clapping, that sort of thing. It was that quiet. You know, they kept, you know, starting to get excited on in game 2, every time Pujols came up and Yadier Molina came up. You know, they had their chances. They could just never capitalize. You're not going to win a series when you have Paul Goldschmidt and Nolan Arenado, you know, go 1 for 15 with 6 strikeouts. It's just not going to happen.
Obviously, the end of 2 Hall of Fame careers with Albert Pujols, who had an incredible second half, and then Yadier Molina, who had a hit in the 9th inning when they were attempting to rally. What did they say, and how did the fans treat them at the end?
Well, in Yadier Molina's last at-bat, you know, Pujols got pulled for a pinch runner in the 8th inning. Got a nice ovation, but with Yadier getting the last hit, you know, that kind of saved the season. You know, a lot of chance of yada, yada, yada. So it's pretty cool. I mean, even though, you know, I mean, Pujols obviously, you know, much better player. Pujols left. Yadi stayed. Yadi spent, you know, all 19 seasons there. So, yeah, it was special. You know, neither, it was funny, in the clubhouse, neither really, you know, sad or expressing tears, but some of his teammates were, but not those two guys.
How would you describe the last 2 months with Albert Pujols and his chase for 700?
Well, just phenomenal. I mean, what he did the last 2 months is what he did for 11 straight years, you know, with St. Louis. It kind of reminded everybody just how great he was. And I think with the Cardinal fans, all they saw, you know, was greatness. They didn't see those years, you know, 9.5 years he struggled in Anaheim. So yeah, it was very cool. You know, standing ovation every single time it came to plate, and you know, everybody's buying new Pujols jerseys. They already had a closet full of the old ones, but they won the new ones.
They are a great fan base there in St. Louis, obviously disappointed. But the Phillies have been in playoff mode for a couple of months, right? Fighting, scratching, clawing. They've been living on the edge. They were the last team to get into the postseason field. And, of course, they fired their manager, Joe Girardi, going back earlier in the season. How did they turn it around, Bob?
Yeah, I mean, they love Rob Thompson. He'll certainly be back. They'll give him a two-three-year contract here. You know, maybe what happened in Girardi, who knows? But I think they wanted a new voice in there, see what happens. And guys responded to Thompson. They really did. Kyle Schwarber, kind of led the way. He was the most steady guy with all the home runs. Harper was hurt for a while. You got Wheeler and Nola, who kind of led the way as far as the pitching staff. But, yeah, just hung tough. I mean, there for a while in September, looked like they might blow this thing. You know, they're playing so bad. And just got hot again at the right time.
Bob Nightingale of USA Today is with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. Spent the weekend in St. Louis. And what series are you headed to for the divisional round?
So I went to the Dodgers and Padres. So a little I-5 World Series, go up and down the freeway. Very, very easy travel. Easiest travel I've had since the 2000 World Series with the Yankees and Mets and Subway Series. So, yeah, it'd be interesting. We'll see what happens. I mean, in the last 28 games, the Padres will play the Dodgers. They're a 5-23.
Whoa.
So something's got to get at some point.
You imagine the Padres are like, not again. We have to see them again.
Exactly. The big bullies on the block always kick sand in the Padres' face. We'll see what happens again.
Mm. Dodgers finished with 111 wins. Obviously, for them, a franchise record. Also, the first National League team to hit that mark in a century. But is there something to be said for not playing meaningful baseball over the last, my gosh, 5 weeks maybe?
Yeah, I'm also, sitting up for 5-6 days, Amy, and the fact that, you're not playing any games at all. I'd be very curious to see how it affects, the other teams, whether it's the Yankees, Astros, Dodgers, that sort of thing. We'll see. Dodgers have a lot of question marks. After Kershaw and Urias, who's going to pitch game three? Hmm. Who's going to close out games in the bullpen? I still think in the National League, if not all of baseball, the World Series goes through Atlanta. I just think Atlanta's that good once again.
Right. The Braves surging at the end, catching the Mets where they did not hold the lead in the National League East for only but a handful of days during the regular season. And they also get a familiar foe in the Phillies. So that's interesting, right? Because we have two series in which they are divisional matchups. In the American League, the Mariners, they are a team that has a flair for the dramatic. With the back-to-back walk-offs to make their first postseason in 21 years, then the way they rally against Toronto, which was just phenomenal. What makes this team tick like they do?
Yeah, they're starting to believe themselves. It's a young team. And like you said, a great pitching staff. I mean, so in the division series against Houston, I think they're going to give the Astros fits. I really do. Where this team's going to go five games. But, in game one, you're going to have Logan Gilbert, who's been unbelievable, first full season. Then you come back with Luis Castillo, who was easily the best pick at the trade deadline. Teams missed out by not grabbing him. The Mariners got him. And then, you go Robbie Ray, defending, Cy Young Award winner. So, yeah, they can cause a lot of problems. I know Astros beat him up during the season, but, Seattle didn't have Lucas Tito all season. They had him at the trade deadline.
They were a team that obviously last year got so close to the playoffs, so maybe not unexpected that they would finally punch their ticket in 22. The Guardians, though, they kind of come out of nowhere. Youngest team in Major League Baseball. They've got the management of Terry Francona. I mean, he's been around baseball forever. He's a lifer. The dude still gets nervous and anxious around games like this. They have to walk off in the 15th inning to be able to move on to the next round. What do you like about that ball club and the way that they've carried themselves this year?
They play kind of old school baseball. They don't hit home runs, but they don't strike out either. Put the ball in play great defense. You're right, Amy, with the Francona is gonna be in the Hall of Fame one day. It's fun. He talks about, because he lives right downtown there by the ballpark, he'll ride a scooter to and from work. Fans are stopping and giving him pizza, stuff like that. But just a a great dude. So yeah, it's good for him, and a great character for the game, and really one of the best managers we've seen in probably the last 50 years.
Yeah, and of course, guiding Cleveland to a World Series appearance in 2016 after winning the AL pennant. The Yankees didn't end up allowing the rest of the East to get super close, but obviously had some angst over the course of about the 6 weeks or so after the All-Star break. What are the elements that might make you nervous about them actually capitalizing on what was a real strong season?
You know, a little bit like the Dodgers, you know, I mean, who's going to close the games? I mean, obviously, Chapman's having the playoff roster. Clay Holmes is, struggling and banged up. So, yeah, you wonder how that's going to work. Rotation-wise, a lot of questions, too, after Gerrit Cole and Cortez, Nestor Cortez, what happens there? So I think similar teams. I mean, it's a very good team, but it's very flawed. I think, if they get to the World Series, it'd be a big upset because Houston Astros would be very favored.
Mm. Bob Nightingale with us here after hours, CBS Sports Radio. Before I let you go, we did this fun show last week in which we asked the fans the best and brightest of baseball in 2022, whether moments, whether memories, whether milestones. Bob, you've watched the whole thing, man. We put 162 games in the rearview mirror plus wild card weekend. So what would you say are the best and brightest of 2022?
Well, I still got to go the old school, though, just a home run chase. I'm going to see, be in Arlington, Texas and watch Aaron Judge hit that 60-second home run. Just so much relief on his face, the way the teammates reacted, jumping over the railing. Very cool. And then on the other side, Albert Pujols hitting, 700th home run. Nobody thought that was going to happen. He only had 6 home runs the first half.
Right.
Looked like he might even retire. And then he does that, which a monster second half. So I think the home run races, both of them, really kind of made baseball fun again. Other guys, young guys, whether Julio Rodriguez, Bobby Witt, those guys, kind of electrified fans. But in the end, it was the home run, just the old school home run stuff that I think made so much news and it was so popular.
You know what I really loved is seeing how the Yankees and the Cardinals respectively were so energized by the chase of those iconic numbers, 62 and 700. It certainly seemed like just those individual pursuits really electrified their clubhouses and certainly propelled them to a bunch of wins.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Pujols meant the world to the Cardinals, what he did on the stretch. Same with Judge. I mean, Judge, when the Yankees were struggling, he was the only guy hitting. I mean, he carried that team. That's why I think, he's a runaway winner for the MVP award. There's, 30 ballots. I bet he gets 25 or 26 of the 30 votes. You take him away, they may not even make the playoffs. They certainly don't win the division. They might be a wild card team at best.
Mm. All excited now for what's to come. The division series start in all their glory, 4 of them, on Tuesday. And Bob Nightingale, our Odyssey baseball insider, as well as USA Today columnist, will be in Los Angeles for the Dodgers and the Padres. It's always great to catch up with you. Thank you so much. You can find Bob on Twitter at @BNightingale.
All right. My pleasure. Thank you so much, Amy.
It's interesting that 3 of these 4 series are divisional matchups or rematches, both in the National League, as we kind of pointed out. And then the fact that in the American League, you've got one from the AL West. It's crazy. But 3 of the lower seeds, quote unquote, ended up advancing out of wild card weekend. So whether or not home field advantage matters, do you think it was notable that the Mets did not sell out Citi Field on Sunday night? And as Bob points out, the Guardians didn't sell out their stadium either, even though they actually ended up advancing. So we'll hear more and we'll look at those series a little more as we head through this show. We're going to get back to football, though. So much still to pick apart. There was a relatively controversial call from the Tampa Bay Atlanta game in the NFC South. Now, I don't want to hear one word about how the officials stole the game from the Falcons. You don't automatically assume touchdowns, right? They were still down by 6 points. You can't just assume that if they get the ball back, they're going to score. But as a rule, we've talked about this for the last few years, quarterbacks get protected like nobody's business. And the reason why people complain about the NFL going soft is because of some of these roughing the passer penalties. And the one that was assessed against the Falcons late in this game, it was soft and suspect, to say the least. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. We'll get that poll up. Which teams and fan bases are the most mortified on Monday? Because football doesn't take a holiday. So again, on Twitter or on our Facebook page, after out.
You're the one who protects the flock, and that requires an eye for detail. Because when safety and well-being are on the line, it's the details that can save lives. Even when no one else is watching, you see everything. Grainger gets you, and we're here for you, and all the ones who get it done with a wide range of safety products and solutions, plus board-certified safety consultants here to answer your questions. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. You're the one who protects the flock, and that requires an eye for detail. Because when safety and well-being are on the line, it's the details that can save lives. Even when no one else is watching, you see everything. Grainger gets you, and we're here for you, and all the ones who get it done with a wide range of safety products and solutions, plus board-certified safety consultants here to answer your questions. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Introducing a new offer from Xfinity. It's unlimited internet with gig speed and supersonic Wi-Fi. And get this, there's no annual contract required, no equipment fees, and a 2-year internet rate guarantee. It even comes with a free Flex 4K streaming box. It's all just $50 a month when you add Xfinity Mobile with unlimited data. The supersonic bundle. Go to Xfinity.com/gig, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit a store to learn more. Limited time offer. Restrictions apply. Requires paperless billing and auto pay. New gigabit internet customers only. Xfinity Mobile requires postpay Xfinity internet. After 24 months, regular rates apply to all services and devices.
With Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Brady working from the gun. Brady retreats. Looking. Here comes Grady Jarrett. You shall not pass. Surely they didn't call slinging him down. This will be a horrendous call. This is going to be a horrendous call. They're going to call Grady Jarrett for slinging down Brady on this sack. This is not the intention of the call.
Personal foul, roughing the passer. Defense, number 97. 15-yard penalty, automatic, first down.
You will not see a worse play than this call.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Well, as much as I appreciate the hyperbole from the Falcons radio network, let's be honest. This happens a lot. Over the past few years, there have been a lot of very soft, questionable roughing the passer penalties. And come on, it happens all the time. Like clockwork. Every couple weeks, there's one that people cannot believe. Why are we protecting the quarterbacks? You can't actually hit the quarterback anymore. We need to put the quarterback in bubble wrap because you're not actually allowed to touch him. So this happens to be the latest one that draws the ire of football fans. And I would agree, it wasn't roughing the passer. But this is what referee Jerome Boger said. Grady Jarrett unnecessarily threw Brady to the ground. So that was his explanation for the roughing the passer flag on that key third down late in the game as the Buccaneers are trying to run out the clock in Tampa. So the situation is this. Falcons have scored a couple times. So they were down 21-0. They've scored a couple times to pull within 6 points. They're about 3 minutes to go. It looks like they've stopped the Bucs dead in their tracks at midfield because Jarrett is able to get to Brady and throw him to the ground or wraps him up in the midsection and kind of throws him down. Boger throws the flag, though, and with the roughing the passer penalty, the drive continues. Tampa's able to run out the clock. So he wraps Brady up around his midsection and then kind of rolls down to the ground with him. And the quarterback, obviously, gets pulled down as well. So Boger says in his post-game report, what I had was the defender grabbed the quarterback while he was still in the pocket and unnecessarily throwing him to the ground. This is what I was making my decision based on. He was actually asked whether or not he threw the flag because it was a takedown relatively similar to the one that injured Tua Tagovailoa a couple weeks ago, or I guess it was last week, last Thursday Night Football on national TV. And Boger said, not necessarily. But you may have noticed over the course of the last few days that now there's no messing around. There's no wiggle room. And the NFL and the NFLPA have even agreed to change the concussion protocols. They went into effect this weekend. Now, did Brady's head hit the ground? Nope. Did he get checked out? Nope. Was he in concussion protocol? Nope. But Boger was asked the question about whether or not that was a consideration. Teddy Bridgewater actually was knocked out on the first drive for the Dolphins against the Jets on Sunday. And even though he went through concussion protocol and had no symptoms at all, he actually was complaining about his elbow. So similar to Tua going back a couple of weeks, initially was telling doctors he had back pain. And that's what made him unsteady on the field. According to an independent spotter, though, Bridgewater looked unstable. And I think the word was wobbly. So that independent spotter, no doubt, all over the league, those spotters have been told to err on the side of caution. And I don't know that I saw the wobbly with Bridgewater. But either way, passing concussion protocols is no longer good enough. Instead, if a spotter believes there's any reason why a guy should be held out of the game, if he looks wobbly from up top, usually in the press box or in the coach's area, if that spotter believes that an athlete looks wobbly, he can hold him out. He can declare him out. That's the new protocol. Any type of unsteadiness or wobbliness, even if it's not due to a head injury and the player passes through concussion protocols, that's now an automatic no-go, meaning the player cannot come back and will have to go through concussion protocols all week. And that is in direct response to what happened with Tua. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So Arthur Smith on that flag thrown against Grady Jarrett, he freaked out on the sidelines, by the way, meaning Coach Smith.
Hey guys, I'm not commenting on that. I got to worry about what I can control. So I just need to see what I can do to coach those situations better.
The one sack at the end of the game, they call him for roughing the passer. So it extends the drive and you're able to get off the field. What did you think of that play? Had you been lobbying or asking for some late hits there?
I don't throw the flags.
He got that from Bill Belichick. He absolutely did. Tampa was up 21-0 in this game, as I mentioned. It was a TD drive to start the third quarter. Leonard Fournette hauls in the one-yard pass from Tom Brady. They tack on the two-point conversion, and they're up 3 touchdowns. But Atlanta pulls within 6, not only because the Falcons were able to capitalize on a few more opportunities, but because the Buccaneers were doing nothing in the second half offensively, as in nothing. The Buccaneers and the Packers both looked hideous in the second half. Now, this was a home game, and they know how important it is to win these home games, especially if you're talking about trying to stay first place in the NFC South.
It's not concerning. I don't think we executed in the third quarter. You know, the first half, we kept their defense on the field. Second half, our offense were going 3 and out, and they kept our defense on the field, and fatigue set in for both sides, I think. Tough ball game. Wins are hard to come by in this league. We were playing for first place. You know, we're happy we got it.
How funny. Even as we're listening to Todd Bowles, I look up and Bowles is on my TV. It's crazy how many times that happens. So the Buccaneers are 3-2. The Saints and the Falcons are 2-3, and the Panthers are 1-4. We're going to talk about the Saints. Man, superstar platform for a longtime member of the New Orleans franchise. Just mentioned the Falcons. And Marcus Mariota is at least proud of his team for the fact that they didn't lay down. Lie down would be the grammatically correct term. They didn't lie down after being behind 21-0.
Says a lot about our team. We got a great group of young players, great group of guys, really. And, you know, it's kind of been the tail of our season. We've found ways to make it close and have a chance to win.
So for Marcus Mariota and the Falcons, Arthur Smith, they were without Cordarrelle Patterson. He's on IR, so that hurts. They're competitive, which I appreciate. The defense is a lot better, finally. You know what's always so nutty about the NFL and probably other sports too, but specifically about the NFL, because there's so many coaches and coordinators that are recycled and that go to other places. And we, a lot of times, see coaches and coordinators take the fall for a unit or a team that's terrible. And then that guy goes somewhere else and has all kinds of success. Dan Quinn is the perfect example. Maybe he's not cut out to be a head coach. I just know that the Falcons hired him because the Seattle Seahawks defense was so damn good. He was the D coordinator in Seattle when they hired him to be the head coach in Atlanta. And it actually turned out to be more of a nail in the coffin with him that the Falcons defense never could become a force to be reckoned with his entire time there. So he gets fired, lands in Dallas, and now the Cowboys defense is one of the best in the NFL under Dan Quinn, to the point where Quinn even agreed to stay around. I'm sure Jerry Jones paid him handsomely. Quinn even agreed to stay in Dallas as the DC, as opposed to getting a head coaching job somewhere else. According to NFL insiders, he would have been a head coaching candidate, a top candidate in other places. But he wanted to stay with Dallas. Mike McCarthy believes in him. So a lot of times it's about your personnel. It's not so much about the fact that you can or can't coach. He's been the leader of two very successful defenses, but not in Atlanta. All right, coming up, we'll talk about the Saints and the Panthers to round out the NFC South. Saints playing the Seahawks. Panthers, they were taking on the San Francisco 49ers. And if possible, are the Panthers actually having a worse start to this year than they had an end to last season? Oh my gosh. Is it possible that the Panthers have fallen off even more than at the end of last year? Remember the Cam Newton experiment? We've got your four candidates. Wait, right? Thumbs up, thumbs down? Not yet. We're working on your four candidates who should be the most mortified on a Monday. We've debated even, including a baseball team or two. I mean, there's plenty of candidates in baseball, but we've got to give you the best candidates. They wake up on Monday, they're miserable and mortified. Fan bases too. We're dragging everybody down. So we'll put the poll up on Twitter, After Hours CBS, and then also on our Facebook page. If you have your holiday weekend, 3 days, mom does, she's off school Monday. Well then, I don't want to say I'm jealous because this is a great time of the year, but a little envious maybe. Not quite green.
You're the one who protects the flock, and that requires an eye for detail. Because when safety and well-being are on the line, it's the details that can save lives. Even when no one else is watching, you see everything. Grainger gets you, and we're here for you, and all the ones who get it done with a wide range of safety products and solutions, plus board-certified safety consultants here to answer your questions. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Anywhere fans go to cheer on their team, there are behind-the-scenes MVPs ensuring everything is game day ready. We see you, Joe, fixing seats so every fan can enjoy every game. and Allie, who keeps her stadium running smoothly from the moment the first game starts to the last play of the season. At Grainger, you're our MVPs, and we're always here for you with supplies and solutions for every industry and 24/7 customer support. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Nice.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
In motion? Nope. Taysom will run it. Up the middle. 2-3. And that is going to be a Saints touchdown. Taysom. Touchdown. Here comes Callaway in motion across the formation. And now he comes back on the other side. Taysom Hill keeps it to the left. 10, 5, and Taysom. Touchdown. Left side. Holtz to the right side. Snapped it. Taysom is going to throw it across the middle, and that is going to be a touchdown to Adam Trautman. Taysom to Trautman for the touchdown. Sorry, no power right on that one. That's a touchdown pass from Taysom. He's run for two and thrown for one. From the right hash mark, Taysom Hill keeps it, looks for first down, and he's got it, and he's got room to run. 50, 40, 30, 20. Will he get caught from behind? That is going to be a touchdown, Taysom Hill. Taysom TD, 60 yards.
It's a football feeding frenzy. After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Taysom Hill is a beast. The kind who can do everything. And we've known this about Taysom Hill. We also know he wants to be a quarterback. I was thinking about him today as he's going off for four touchdowns. And I'm thinking, I wonder if he's frustrated that Andy Dalton got the start instead of him. I wonder if he takes it personally or he's discouraged because he feels like he's never going to get a chance to be the starting QB. Maybe he thought when Sean Payton left that Dennis Allen might give him a chance to start. Except in back-to-back weeks, without Jameis Winston, it's been Andy Dalton. But the Saints do not win this game on Sunday without a healthy dose of Taysom Hill and then extra. Sometimes I salt my food and then I decide, you know what? I'll take a little more of that. That was Taysom Hill. Mike Haas with the calls on Saints Radio. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Listen to these final numbers for Taysom. 9 carries for 112 yards and 3 touchdowns. Are you kidding me? 9 carries for over 100 yards and 3 touchdowns. Plus, the only pass he throws is a 22-yard touchdown. The Saints don't win without Taysom Hill. And he actually said that he kind of figured out as they went throughout the week of game planning that he was going to get more opportunities on Sunday against Seattle.
Every week is a little bit different, and you know, Jameis has been a little banged up, and so that kind of limited me in what I think the plan was supposed to be at the start of the season. And so look, I think every week I go in and I prepare for what I'm going to be asked to do.
I don't know that you ever really know exactly how many snaps somebody's going to get. It just depends on how the game's being played out, you know. But I thought we were able to do some things in the running game and utilize him in those areas. And then obviously with the with what they were doing defensively, you know, trying to stop the run game, we felt like there was an opportunity in the passing game. Pete and I were talking, and he felt like, you know, some of the run game stuff that we could do with Taysom in the game was could be really good against this group. And he was right. You know, Taysom was really effective.
Such a weapon, and there's nobody else like him. And if you're a defense, you have to prepare for so much with him because you never know where he's going to line up.
So Taysom Hill, star of the show as the Saints get win number 2. So it's Saints and Falcons, a game back of the Buccaneers in the NFC South. And that leaves the Panthers as the fourth member, of that South division. And I'm starting to wonder if it's actually worse. One more year of Matt Rhule, and there's a chance it's getting worse. Now, the fact that the Niners and Panthers were playing this weekend is interesting, right? Because we just heard from Jimmy Garoppolo that the Panthers were a team that were interested in trading for him. But when he had his shoulder surgery, they backed off. They got Baker instead. Oh, it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Very first half. San Francisco has a fumble and a blocked field goal. But it's the defense that is able to spark them with a pick six. It's amazing what defense and special teams can do to light a fire under your offense. This is another example. San Francisco has got guys banged up on both sides of the ball, but specifically the defense. It feels like they've always got guys who are hurt. Every other week, Nick Bosa's got some kind of an ailment. He plays so hard. And yet, when you watch them play, they leave it all on the field. Blood, sweat, tears, everything. They put everything into it.
Jimmy in the shotgun again. This time, Tevin Coleman to his left. Kittle goes right with Ayuk. They stack Ray behind Debo left. Jimmy back. Jimmy time. Jimmy throws. It is caught. Touchdown! San Francisco Debo! Jimmy under center. Juszczyk ahead of Wilson. They give it to Wilson off the right side. Touchdown! San Francisco!
So the first half, it's Debo Samuel with a four-yard touchdown catch and Jeff Wilson with a rushing TD. But again, it was the defense and the special teams that set the tone initially. Emmanuel Mosley with that pick six. And then later in the game, when there was maybe a glimmer of hope for Carolina, a San Francisco punt, so again, special teams, pins the Panthers inside their own 10, and the defense doesn't allow a first down. Oh, hello. And they tried to go for it on fourth down because at this point, they've got nothing to lose. So the defense doesn't give up a first down. And then they've got a short field, as in really short field. And Tevin Coleman goes the 5 yards for the touchdown that is the dagger. Nearly 400 yards of offense for the team that now has Jimmy Garoppolo starting again.
I think we still got room for improvement. There were some drives where we just killed ourselves and, simple things we could fix. But, yeah, today it was a good day. We were rolling pretty good.
So he has a couple of touchdowns. Jeff Wilson, 120 yards on the ground plus a score. And Debo Samuel actually says, hey, the run game is so critical to what we want to do as an offense.
It just come with the play calling with Kyle having the trust and ability, you know what I'm saying? We was coming out and we wanted to run the ball first. That's just what we do, being a physical group, and just let everything else just fall in place.
4 for 4 in the red zone helps when you can punch it in with your running backs. Baker Mayfield had a banged up ankle. So in the first half, he kind of tweaks it, and then he's in a boot after the game, and that's not good for the Panthers, although nothing's really good for the Panthers right now.
A little painful right now. Not real sure what exactly it is. Gonna, you know, examine that tomorrow and find out. So just right now I'm managing the pain and, preventative stuff in the boot.
Pick six right before the half really was a gut punch. I thought the guys came out and answered in the second half with the kick return and leading to a touchdown. But in the end, unfortunately, just wasn't enough.
The gut punch, that was the pick six right before halftime. Emmanuel Mosley off Baker Mayfield, and you hear Matt Rhule pointed out, you put yourselves in a hole like that and against a defense like San Francisco's, it's very difficult and challenging to come back, which is why we have included the Carolina Panthers, who are now 1-4. But you remember, they had lost 9 in a row before they got their first victory. In the first month of the season, they managed one win. Otherwise, what have they lost? 10 of their last 11? Brutal. So who should be the most mortified on Monday? Check out the poll on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on our Facebook page. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You're the one who protects the flock, and that requires an eye for detail. Because when safety and well-being are on the line, it's the details that can save lives. Even when no one else is watching, you see everything. Grainger gets you, and we're here for you and all the ones who get it done with a wide range of safety products and solutions, plus board-certified safety consultants here to answer your questions. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. You're the one who protects the flock, and that requires an eye for detail. Because when safety and well-being are on the line, it's the details that can save lives. Even when no one else is watching, you see everything. Grainger gets you, and we're here for you, and all the ones who get it done with a wide range of safety products and solutions, plus board-certified safety consultants here to answer your questions. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you are leading change, building a team, or implementing new procedures, Gonzaga University's online Master's in Organizational Leadership gives you the tools for success. With concentrations in change, global, and servant leadership, you'll get the most relevant training and education to help you tackle any challenge. Visit gonzaga.edu/leader and find out how Gonzaga's organizational leadership degree can affect positive change in your life and career. That's gonzaga.edu/leader.